If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a message to encourage you today from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. Says, "But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you and have not rejected you.' So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Thank God for His holy word. The title of my message this morning is "The Promises of a Faithful God." The promises of a faithful God. In the passage before us, God is confronting the heathen for their idolatry, but He is comforting Israel concerning their relationship with Him. And He gives reasons for them to be encouraged in a difficult world in which they live and in which we live as well. And, we did a study a few years back in our midweek Bible study on the promises of God. And one of the points, it was a video series, one of the points that the speaker emphasized was the fact that God wants you and me to trust in His promises. He wants you and me to test His promises, to believe and put our full faith and confidence in His promises, because He is a promise-keeping God. How many have found that to be true? Amen? And so His faithfulness is demonstrated in the fact that He keeps His promises. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we get saved, we begin to live under the economy of grace. And we are dependent on God's faithfulness and His promises. We know Paul said in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." The bottom line is, whether we realize it or not, we are totally and completely dependent upon God's faithfulness and the keeping of His promises. Amen? Where would we be this morning if God did not keep His promises, if He wasn't faithful to His holy word? But He is faithful to His word. He's been faithful in 2021. I don't know where the time went. I don't know how this year is over already. It just seemed like we did this end of the year thing recently, and that was a whole year ago. I've said this the last few weeks, people couldn't wait for 2020 to get over. And here 2021 is practically over, and probably a lot of people are happy about that as well. But one thing is certain, no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens in our lives, in our homes, with our health, with our finances, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world, whatever happens in our economy, whatever happens with politics, whatever happens with wars throughout the world and division over political views and other things, whatever happens year after year, what doesn't change is the faithfulness of God. We can rely on Him as we've relied on Him every year. We have relied on Him in 2021, and we can rely on Him in 2022. I believe that with all my heart. So this morning, the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what are some promises of God that we can rely on, not just for a moment, not just at a particular time, but what are some promises of God that we can rely on year after year? I want to share those with you. The first is this: we can rely on the promise of His abiding presence. His abiding presence. He says in verse 10, the beginning of verse 10, So do not fear, for I am with you. Isn't that awesome? Now, we all have different things that bring us fear, that cause us to fear, don't we? Some people might like to put forth bravado, you know, that nothing causes them to fear. But whether we admit it or not, we all have fears. Can we just acknowledge that this morning? We all have things. My fears may not be the same as your fears. But we all have fears. We all have things that cause our hearts to quiver a little bit and cause us to be anxious. And so it's a little bit off-putting perhaps at first when someone says, don't be afraid. You know, that was the message of, I talked about a few weeks ago, enjoying a no-fear Christmas. That was the consistent message from the angels through the Christmas story. Do not be afraid. But, you know, sometimes there doesn't seem to be any rational or consistent explanation for our fears. We sometimes can't explain it, but what causes us to fear causes us to fear, right? And someone who doesn't have a particular fear we have, they might say, oh, you shouldn't be afraid of that. Well, thanks a lot. But I am, because I just am. So when someone says, don't fear, we could recoil a little bit and we could say, hey, you know, don't tell me how to feel. But God says to his people, do not fear. But he gives a reason. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Hallelujah. Yeah, but what about, I'm with you. I know, but after the holidays, see, I have to deal. No, I'm with you. Yeah, but I have these bills and I'm with you. But I have these problems at work and, no, I'm with you. Do not fear, for I'm with you. And, you know, it's so easy to forget that. We know that, don't we? Christianity 101, God is with us. God promised to be with us. He said in one place, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Have you heard that before? Of course you have. We know that. But there's one, you know, to know it intellectually is one thing, right? To be comforted by that truth in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a fear and anxiety-inducing crisis, to have that assurance is another thing, isn't it? And, you know, hopefully you were able to enjoy the Christmas season, the holiday season, and your Christmas celebration yesterday, whatever issues and problems and, you know, dilemmas you have in life, you know they're still there, but hopefully you're able to get a brief respite from them and enjoy your celebration. But we know issues that were there before Christmas, they're going to be there after, and we have to deal with them, and they can cause us to fear. But you know what? The Lord says, I am with you. And I want to encourage you today, whatever is gnawing at you on the inside, whatever is lingering and causing you to say, what's going to happen? And I don't know how things will turn out. And I don't have the answers to this problem. And I'm just full of anxiety. And this is a very difficult time. I get all that. Those are human emotions, human reactions to the circumstances of life. But can I encourage you this morning that your God has never left you? Your God will never leave you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you in the darkest time, in the most difficult time. Another place in Isaiah, he said, when you go in the fiery furnace, I'm going to be in there with you. When the waters threaten to overwhelm you and flood you, he said, I will be there with you. Hallelujah. How many know God keeps his promises? God is faithful. God is with us. And in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of experiencing the things of life that cause us to fear, if we can only remind ourselves of the truth of God's word. Listen, there's never a wrong time to assert truth. Can I tell you that? Oh, I know that's the truth, but I don't want to hear that right now. No, you need to hear it right now because it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, God made us as emotional beings, and that's well and good. But as I've often said, emotions are like fire. Fire is good, although yesterday was a pretty warm Christmas. We had a virtual fire on TV yesterday. I don't know about you, but it was too warm to light up the fireplace. But you know, fire is good in the fireplace, but if it gets out of your fireplace, it'll burn your house down. Emotions are like that. They have their place, but when emotions take over, they can get us off track. And when we're emotional, we don't often want to hear the truth. Can we just admit that? I just want to feel like I'm feeling that. And I get that. I have little, you know, fits like that myself. But you know, when the dust settles, we need to come back to the truth. What's the truth? No matter how fearful I am, no matter how anxious I am, no matter how big the mountain in front of me seems, the truth of God's word remains. It can't change. It will never change. It will be true through time and eternity that my God is with me. Hallelujah. You're not alone this morning. If you're watching online, you're contemplating what you have to deal with. You don't have to deal with it alone. Because God said he would be with you. And there's something that changes. You know, when we feel like we're going through something alone, it just seems like that's the worst kind of trial. And then we realize there's somebody in there with us. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were righteous men who refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And the decree went forth that anyone who refused would be thrown into a fiery furnace. And the scripture says the furnace was heated 7 times its normal temperature. It was so hot that the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, they perished by the heat of the fire. And you know the story. They went in there because they were faithful to God. And the Lord protected them in that blazing furnace. And they came out, not only were they not harmed, their clothes weren't singed. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Let me tell you, you can just walk by a waft of smoke and you get smoke on you. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them. And when they were in there, the king looked in and he said, "Didn't we throw 3 guys in there?" I said, "Yeah, king. I count 4. And the 4th one's like the Son of God." Hallelujah. He was with them in the fiery furnace, and he will be with you in your fiery furnace. Hallelujah. Because he promised. But God, how do I know? Because he promised. Hallelujah. You can depend on the promises of God. You may not be able to depend on the stock market. You may not be able to depend on the weatherman. You may not be able to depend on a coworker or a relative or so-and-so or this person or that person. Or, you may not be able to depend on your computer when you need it sometimes, you know, or your smartphone. But you can depend on the promises of God. He said, whatever happens in your life, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. Trust in my abiding presence. Hallelujah. God has demonstrated that in 2021, and he will be with us in 2022. Pastor Tim, how can you know that? Because he promised. Listen, it's not like God is new at this. Right? He has what I like to call a track record. Anybody have a... God have a track record with anybody here today? Has God come through for you? Hallelujah. David knew he could kill Goliath because God helped him kill the lion and the bear. He had a track record. God has a track record with us. He makes a promise. He's going to keep his promise. He will be with us. Hallelujah. Thank God for the promise of his abiding presence. What's the second promise? It's the promise of a personal relationship. I love this. Do not be dismayed, it says in the middle of verse 10, for I am your God. What does it mean to be dismayed? The Hebrew word here, dismayed, means to look anxiously about. You ever been dismayed and you're just kind of You know, you're kind of like this on the outside, and your inside's like that too. Like, what's going on? What am I going to do? You're dismayed. You're looking about for you're looking for some magical answer to just jump out at you. You ever been dismayed? God says, "Don't be dismayed, because I am a God, the God. I am your God. Hallelujah. I'm your God." He's a personal God this morning. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, the Bible and history are full of accounts of civilizations that had that worshipped these so-called gods, the God of the sky and the God of the sea and the God of the trees, the God of the sun and this God and that God. And, you know, we have to offer these strange sacrifices. Some even sacrifice their children to their pagan so-called gods. And they had this fear relationship. Not fear. I know the Bible says to fear God, but that when it says that, it means to reverence Him. But God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him, in terror of Him. Okay, there's a difference. And some of these people in these civilizations, they were terror-stricken of their God, and they would do anything they could to appease their gods. And they didn't really know their gods, because their gods didn't exist. God says, don't be dismayed, don't cast about, don't look about anxiously. I'm not just a God, I'm not just the God, I'm your God. Aren't you thankful that He's a personal God? We talk about having a personal relationship with Him. And, you know, if we're living our Christian life to the fullest, it should really be just that. It should be a personal relationship with Him. You know, prayer time shouldn't be a time of having to reintroduce ourselves to God. God, it's me. Remember we talked back in 2015. You remember me? You know, it shouldn't be like that. It's a personal relationship. He's a personal God. And He loves you. He loves you this morning when you don't love yourself. You ever have times you don't love yourself? Yeah, I think we all do. You know? I do stupid things sometimes. I know it's shocking, but I do. The worst part of it is I can't blame somebody else for it. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my children. I can't blame, you know, the deacon board. I blame myself because I did something stupid. Everybody else do stupid things? Thank you for one person's support. Okay. Sometimes we don't love ourselves, but He loves us. He's a personal God. He knows what makes you tick. The Bible says He knows the number of hairs on your head. So He says, don't be dismayed. I am your God. What distinguished the Israelites from all the other nations? They served the living God, the true God, the personal God, the God who spoke to them, the God who intervened on their behalf. And have you ever had a time when you're anxious or discouraged or just out of sorts, and God sends someone along, and you know it's God, to encourage you, or maybe you have a financial need, and God just from an unlikely, unexpected source sends the finances you need, and you know that God did that? That's because He's a personal God. I've shared this before, but at one of our ministers' meetings, we had a pastor tell a story about early in his ministry, the ministry of him and his wife. They were pastoring a church, very small church. They really couldn't support the pastor too well financially, and so the pastor and his wife, they were in a very, very difficult financial situation. They had great financial needs, and but they left that to the Lord. And so one day, the pastor's wife was in the kitchen preparing a meal, and the pastor was, you know, in another room, the living room, and she was pouring the noodles, the Kraft macaroni and cheese noodles, into the boiling water, and she let out a yell. And her husband thought something happened to her. He ran to the kitchen. He said, "What's the matter?" She poured out the noodles and money came out of the box. Like a number of big bills. And they were dumbfounded. And they took it out and it supplied their financial need. The epilogue to that story is after that minister's meeting, everybody went out and bought all the Kraft macaroni and cheese they could find. Have you ever had money fall out of a Kraft macaroni and cheese box? Me neither. Maybe one day. That's not a formula. That's not, okay, we're going to start looking in Kraft macaroni and cheese boxes for money. But it was what they needed. And it was in, how did it get there? Nobody has an idea. It was in their box when they needed it. Because God was their God. He's a personal God. He's not going to give you money, most likely, in a Kraft macaroni and cheese box. But he's going to meet your needs in a way that's suitable to you, to your life. And not just your financial needs, but every need in your life. Because he says, do not be dismayed. I am your God. I know what you need. I created you. I know you better than you know yourself. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he's a personal God this morning? So do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Listen, none of us could have imagined that we begin a worldwide pandemic in 2020, and we certainly thought, I think I even said from this pulpit about a year or so ago, well, it seems like it's winding down, and here we are a year later. None of us knew what to expect, and none of us know what to expect in 2022. Don't you love these little columns? Well, trends and things you can expect in the new year. Yeah, right. You got to be kidding me. Nobody knows except the Lord. There will be trials. I know this much. I'm not a prophet, but I know this much. There will be trials in 2022. There will be unexpected things to come into your life and my life and into our church and into our world that we don't see coming or not prepared for mentally. Why? Because that's life. You know that, don't you? And if we really wanted to just give vent to our fears and our emotions, we could be up at night worrying about what might happen. You ever worry about something that might happen and get into all a tizzy over it, and then it doesn't happen? And you're like, man, I wish I could have those 5 sleepless nights back, you know? And we can worry, but the fact of the matter is we don't know what will happen. But what do we know? We know this. We know that we don't need to be dismayed because he is our God. He is with us. He is a personal God. And whatever battles you face will be different from the ones I face in many respects. But God will be with you just like he will be with me. Because he's a personal God. What causes you to be dismayed today? What causes you to be anxious and to cast about looking for solutions? The word of the Lord comes to us today. The promises of a faithful God is this. Don't be afraid because I am your God. He gives us the promise of a personal relationship. Are you thankful for that this morning? What's the third promise? It's the promise of his sustaining power. He says in the latter part of verse 10, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, I mentioned before that some cultures had God of the sky, and God of the sea, and God of the trees, and God of the land. And in the mythology of those cultures, you know, that God was strong in his sphere, in his place. And, you know, if you were on the water, you were subject to the God of the water, the God of the sea. You weren't subject to the God of the sky. You know, or the God of the land. But if you were on land, and so they kind of parceled up, you know, the supposed divinity of these gods. But our God is the one true God. Amen? He's the God of the sky and the trees and the land and the sea and outer space and inner space. And he's the God of the medical labs. He's the God of the financial empire. He's the God of everything. And you know, it's a wonderful truth that when we pray to God and when we go to him, that he hears us. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But you know what's equally as important? It's great that he hears us, but we'd be in big trouble if all he did was hear us. Am I right? He not only hears us, he intervenes. He is all powerful. He is able to do the exceeding abundant, above all that we can ask or think, as Paul said. And he makes three specific promises here in regard to his sustaining power. First, he says, I will strengthen you. Says elsewhere in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. You ever feel just weary? I'm not talking about physical weariness, although that God will strengthen us physically as well. He does that. But do you ever just feel emotionally and mentally weary, just tired of dealing with life and with things? And you can get a good night's sleep, and you should get a good night's sleep, and that can help a lot. But even then, sometimes the weariness continues because it's more than just physical weariness. You know what I'm talking about? And you just feel weak, and I just can't face another day. God says to you, your God says to you, I will strengthen you. And that scripture I just quoted from Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord. Sometimes the key to being strengthened and receiving what we need to continue is to wait on God. You know, when we live in a world of rechargeable devices, don't we? Our cell phones, our tablets, our computers, our watches, everything else, we have to charge it. What do you do when your device needs charging? Where do you take it? You take it to the charger. You take it to the power source, don't you? And yet, what do? When we feel weak and we feel like we've run out of power? I don't know what I'm going to do. Instead, we need to do what we do with our smartphones and our rechargeable devices. We need to go to the power source. We need to get alone with God. See, and that's counterintuitive to our flesh, to our earthly makeup. Because sometimes we think the thing to do is to speed up and work harder, and that's difficult to do when we have no emotional and physical strength. What do we need to do? We need to go to the power source. God says, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. He says, secondly, I will help you. I will help you. Sometimes we all just need help, don't we? And some of us pride ourselves on being self-sufficient. I won't ask for a show of hands today, but you know who you are. I can handle it. Can we just admit right here and now? There are some things we can't handle. Can we admit that? I admit it. Some things I just can't handle. We need help. Where does your help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. It doesn't come from Oprah. It doesn't come from Dr. Phil. You know? It doesn't come from yoga. You can do that if you want to. But where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. The Lord said, I will help you. I love the words of an old hymn. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We don't take it to Him. We don't look for to Him as the source of our help. What is there you need help with? the Lord will help you. Remember when Jesus walked on the water and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, you bid me to come walk on the water. And the Lord said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? Scripture says he began to look at the waves and the wind and he started to sink. That's what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus, doesn't it? But Peter, you can criticize Peter all you want. Number one, probably none of us have walked on water. So we got to give Peter props for that, right? Second thing we got to give Peter props for is when he started sinking in the water, he knew where to go. He knew who to call out to. Lord, save me. Probably the shortest yet most effective prayer ever uttered. Lord, save me. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your assistance. And of course, the Lord saved him. And the Lord will save you. The Lord will help you. Do you have a thorny problem? Do you have an issue that you've racked your brain and gone to all your regular set of advisors for help and you just don't find help anywhere and you've Googled it till you're Googled out and you can't find the answer? Let me tell you, the Lord will help you. My wife has to remind me of that sometimes. This happened. And this happened. The Lord will take care of it. And he does. And she's right. And I was anxious for nothing. I was worried for nothing. The Lord says, I will help you. He says, I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you. Boy, that's powerful. I will uphold you. I will sustain you. Sometimes we just need to be held up. Sometimes our strength gives out. Our ability gives out. And he says, I will uphold you. I mentioned a song a moment ago. There's another song. I love music, so I certain songs bless me, as I'm sure some do you. There's another song a gospel group used to sing years ago. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim, to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. I love what Paul said in Philippians. He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to give up on you. How many know God doesn't do things halfway? He didn't save you. He didn't redeem you. He didn't send his Holy Spirit to you so that you would kind of be left to fend for yourself, did he? He said, I will uphold you. I will sustain you. And sometimes I think we don't realize it, that the only thing keeping us going is his sustaining power, his upholding power. I will uphold you. He promised us his sustaining power. This morning, do you feel weak? Do you feel like your strength is given out? The Lord wants to renew your strength. The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to have an outlook going into this new year that says, hey, whatever comes my way, the Lord will sustain me. He will uphold me. How many have found that God keeps his promises? Amen. What are the promises we can rely on year after year from 2021 into 2022 and beyond? The promise of his abiding presence. Do not fear, I will be with you. I can't tell you what's coming in 2022. I wish I could, but I can't. But I can tell you this, God will be with you. God will be with you. I can't tell what challenges you'll walk through, but I can tell you when you walk through them, if you belong to him, God will be with you. The promise of a personal relationship. He's your God. He's your God. If you've given your life to him through Jesus Christ, he's a personal God. He will tailor the answer to prayer to your exact situation. Aren't you thankful he's a personal God today? Praise God. And thank him for the promise of his sustaining power. He will hold you up. You feel like you can't go any further? You feel like you've just, man, exhausted all your resources? That's where he comes in. That's where he's there to sustain you and strengthen you. Aren't you thankful for the promise of God, promises of God? He keeps his promises today, and he will keep his promises in 2022, just like he has 2021 and all the years before.